You know, when you picture an extrovert, what comes to mind? Probably someone loud, maybe the life of the party, always surrounded by people.
Yeah, that's the common image, isn't it? The
Yeah.
person who's never met a stranger.
Exactly. But what if that's like just scratching the surface?
It often is.
Yeah.
There's usually a lot more going on beneath that outward energy.
So today, that's what we're diving into. We want to get past that stereotype.
Right. Explore what really makes extroverts tick.
Whether you see that spark in yourself, or maybe in a friend, or you're just curious about people,
Yeah.
this deep dive is for you.
We'll look at where extroversion comes from, what motivates them, how they handle energy.
Where their joy comes from, and how they connect with, well, maybe more introverted folks.
And importantly, it's not about rigid labels. Personality is way more complex.
Definitely. It's a spectrum, isn't it? And loads of us land somewhere in the middle.
That's the ambivert idea, yeah. Comfortable in different settings, we'll get into that too.
Okay, good. Because it's tempting to just box people in, but reality is messier.
Much messier and much more interesting. So we've gathered some different viewpoints to really give a richer picture.
Great. So let's start right at the beginning then. Where does extroversion actually originate? Is it hardwired or more about how you grow up?
Well, it's that classic mix, isn't it? Nature and nurture.
The age-old dance.
Exactly. Yeah, in personality psychology, people often talk about the big five traits.
Right, like openness, conscientiousness. Extroversion is one of those.
Precisely. And extroversion within that model covers things like sociability, energy levels, assertiveness, and a tendency towards positive emotions.
Okay.
Now, your genes might give you a certain predisposition, a kind of starting point for those things.
But your experiences shape how it actually plays out.
Absolutely. Your family, your friends, your culture, they all have a huge impact on how those natural tendencies, show up in your daily life.
So it's not just being social versus liking being alone. It's more nuanced.
Much more. And yeah, we often contrast it with introversion.
Where introverts find energy more in solitude and reflection.
Generally, yes. But it's crucial to remember, neither way is better. They're just different ways of managing energy.
And like you said, most people aren't at the extreme ends anyway.
Exactly. That's where ambiverts come in. They can be comfortable mixing with crowds and having quiet time. They often switch pretty seamlessly.
Which is a skill in itself, I guess.
It can be incredibly adaptive, yeah.
Okay, this is where it gets really fascinating for me. We say extroverts are drawn to people, but what's actually going on, like, biologically in their brains?
Ah, the neurobiology.
Yeah.
Yeah, research points towards extroverts having a more active dopamine system.
Dopamine, the reward chemical.
That's the one. It's involved in pleasure, motivation, feeling good. Extroverts seem to be more sensitive to its effects.
Meaning they get a bigger buzz from things that release dopamine.
Essentially, yes. Things like socializing, exploring new places, achieving something.
Right.
They get a stronger reward signal from those activities.
Which explains why they often seek out that kind of stimulation.
It connects really well, doesn't it? Those experiences feel genuinely energizing and exciting to them, maybe more so than for someone less sensitive to dopamine.
So that urge for novelty, for jumping into things, it's partly brain chemistry.
It seems to be a significant factor.
Yeah.
And if you think about it from an evolutionary angle,
How would that have helped our ancestors?
well, that drive for social connection, for cooperation, communication, building alliances, that would have been a huge survival advantage in early human groups.
For hunting, defense, sharing resources.
Exactly. You needed people who could bring the group together. While introverts might have been crucial for, say, strategy and careful planning,
The extroverts were maybe the ones getting everyone organized and motivated.
that's a plausible idea. Their comfort with interaction, with taking initiative, probably helped foster group cohesion. They often naturally step into leadership roles even today.
And that dopamine thing again, maybe it made them more willing to take social risks.
Very likely. The potential reward, making a new connection, achieving a group goal, getting that positive feedback, that would be a strong motivator if you're highly sensitive to dopamine.
Okay, so it's definitely way more than just liking parties. There's this deep internal drive. What's really fueling that engine?
It's a fundamental need for social engagement,
Yeah.
truly. It's not just nice to be around people, it's about connection, stimulation, both emotional and mental.
So social settings are where they recharge.
In a very real way, yes. They gather information, they exchange energy, it literally refuels their batteries.
Yeah.
It's a core difference compared to how introverts recharge.
You mentioned mental stimulation. I've noticed some extroverts seem to think out loud. Is that a thing?
Oh, absolutely. That talking-to-think idea is very real for many extroverts.
How does that work?
Conversation acts like a feedback loop. Saying things out loud, getting immediate responses. It helps them articulate, clarify, and even understand their own thoughts better.
Wow, so the interaction is part of their thinking process.
It often is. And that feedback they get, that external validation, can be really important and reinforcing for them.
Like their brain works best collaboratively, almost.
That's an interesting way to put it. And think about shared experiences, too.
Yeah.
Those moments, emotional, intellectual, even physical activities done together, they create really lasting impressions and strengthen that feeling of unity and connection. It builds community.
Which feeds back into their need for connection. Makes sense.
It does. It's about creating those shared memories.
And that probably drives the search for new things too. The next outing, the next adventure.
Definitely ties in that craving for novelty that links right back to the dopamine system. New experiences deliver that hit of excitement and pleasure they're wired for.
So routine feels boring, stifling.
It can. Yeah. It doesn't provide the same level of stimulating input.
So it's not just restlessness. It's a genuine drive for that dopamine release that newness brings.
Precisely. And you see it in their love for adventure,
yeah.
Spontaneity, which might contrast with someone who prefers more predictability.
And this motivation affects everything. Relationships, work.
Oh, hugely. In relationships, they tend to be very engaged, expressive, needing that connection. At work, they often shine in collaborative roles, are maybe more comfortable with risk, and really thrive on recognition and growth opportunities.
Okay, we've talked drivers, but let's focus on energy. We know introverts recharge alone. How do extroverts actually, plug in?
Right, the contrast is key. Introverts go inward, solitude, reflection. Extroverts recharge externally.
Through
social interaction, dynamic environments, new experiences. Those are their power outlets. Being social doesn't drain them in the same way. It actually fills their tank.
So that noisy cafe, the big conference, that's genuinely energizing for them.
For many, yes. That interaction is fuel. It gives them tangible energy, mental and physical. They're often at their peak when surrounded by that buzz.
But surely they need downtime too. Everyone does, right? What does rest look like for an extrovert?
Absolutely vital point. Yes, they need rest, but it might not be total silence or isolation.
So what then?
It could be, say, a quiet evening with a couple of close friends. Or a walk in nature, but maybe not completely alone. It's about processing and rejuvenating without feeling cut off. Lower intensity connection, perhaps.
So turning the volume down, not switching off completely from people?
That's a good analogy. And it's crucial because even extroverts can burn out.
If they just keep going, seeking constant high-level interaction.
Exactly. If they don't build in that proper rest, that processing time, they can overextend themselves. Finding a sustainable rhythm is key.
What are the signs? If an extrovert is pushing too hard, what might we notice?
You might see unusual fatigue, like exhaustion even after social stuff, maybe more irritability, a shorter fuse.
Okay.
Or sense of detachment, feeling a bit numb even with people.
Yeah.
And definitely a drop in motivation for things they usually love.
So recognizing those signs is important, both for them and people around them.
Very important. It's a signal to pull back, recalibrate.
So that sustainable rhythm, what does that look like practically, day to day?
It means consciously scheduling quieter time, not waiting until they're running on empty, learning to say no sometimes, setting boundaries.
Without feeling guilty about missing out.
Ideally, yes. It's also about mindful engagement, focusing on the quality of interaction, not just quantity, and fundamentally self-awareness, knowing their own energy levels, mm-hmm. recognizing the early signs they need to recharge.
Right. Okay, let's shift to emotions. We've talked energy, motivation. What about joy? Where does that fit in the extroverted life?
Joy is huge. It's a major driving force for extroverts, often tied very closely to celebration, sharing positive moments, enjoying things with others.
And they tend to show it, right? The big laughs, the celebrations.
Oh, definitely. They often express joy really outwardly. Humor, playfulness, shared laughter. Laughter is like social glue.
Creates connection, feels good.
Exactly. And making others laugh, sharing that moment can be deeply satisfying and energizing for an extrovert.
It's infectious, that kind of outward joy.
It really can be. And celebration itself is a key thing. It's a way to signal appreciation, acknowledge success, mark collective happiness, big milestones or small wins. It reinforces bonds, belonging, and it fosters gratitude. A positive outlook.
They do seem to radiate a kind of positive energy.
Often, yes. That natural enthusiasm and optimism can be really uplifting for others, creating more supportive environments. They can genuinely lift a room.
Okay, but there's that stereotype that because they know so many people, maybe their relationships are a bit shallow, lots of acquaintances, not much depth. Is that fair?
That stereotype really misses the mark, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, they often enjoy wide circles, but they're absolutely capable of deep, meaningful connections.
So it's not just surface level.
Not at all. They value authenticity, genuine understanding. You'll often find extroverts with very close friends, deep family bonds, sharing personal stuff. The joy isn't just the number of people, it's forging real bonds.
So it's not quantity over quality then?
Definitely not. Building meaningful relationships for them involves active engagement, genuine interest, emotional investment, mutual support, shared values. That's often the core. They put effort in.
And I guess their ability to read people, their emotional intelligence, helps build those strong bonds.
Absolutely. EQ understanding and managing emotions in themselves and others is crucial. It lets them read cues, empathize, communicate effectively and with sensitivity.
Which builds trust and deeper connection.
Exactly. It helps them understand needs, respond with care. It makes them good friends, often natural leaders in social settings too.
Okay, so we see the inner world. But extroversion doesn't exist in isolation. How does it play out in the wider world, especially interacting with, say, introverts?
It's all about context.
Yeah.
Relationships, teams. It's often described as a kind of dance between introversion and extroversion.
A dance that needs understanding.
Definitely. Understanding and compromise are key. Think about a party. The extrovert is energized. The introvert might be drained by the exact same event.
So open communication about needs is vital, finding a balance.
Absolutely essential for both styles to thrive together in any relationship, romantic, family, friends.
And what about in like work teams?
That combination can be incredibly powerful. Extroverts might lead discussions, encourage participation.
Get the energy going.
Yeah. While introverts often bring depth, analysis, reflection, strategy, they complement each other.
So you get more well-rounded results.
Often, yes.
Yeah.
The team becomes more adaptable. The extrovert might initiate, bring enthusiasm.
And the introvert provides the careful thought, the deeper dive.
That's a good way to see it. In personal life, too, the extrovert might encourage trying new things. The introvert offers space for reflection. It's reciprocal.
So it's not about better or worse, just different strengths to value.
Exactly. Mutual respect is fundamental. Extroverts learning to appreciate the need for quiet space. Introverts may be understanding the genuine need for social fuel. It's about adapting to each other.
And we mentioned it earlier, but let's circle back. Not everyone is purely one or the other. The ambiverts.
Right, and that's probably most people. Ambiverts have this fantastic flexibility.
They can shift between modes.
Depending on the situation, their mood, who they're with. They might love a big gathering one night, then crave quiet reflection the next day. That adaptability is a real asset.
So they can draw on both sides as needed.
Pretty much. They can dial up the extroverted energy for a meeting, then switch to focused solo work just as easily. They often thrive in both individual and group settings, because of that flexibility.
And what about this idea of a situational extrovert?
Yeah, that's interesting too. It highlights that even people who generally lean introverted can step up and be quite extroverted when the situation demands it.
Like leading a presentation or networking, even if it's not their default.
Exactly. Someone might prefer quiet pursuits, but can absolutely turn on the outgoing charm and leadership when necessary. It shows extroversion isn't always a fixed trait. It can be context dependent.
We can all flex those social muscles sometimes.
We can. It shows how adaptable we are.
Okay, so wrapping all this up, what's the big takeaway for extroverts themselves or for those who live with or work with them?
I think the main thing is embrace your natural tendencies. If you're an extrovert, that drive for interaction, for novelty, that's not a flaw. It's a tool for growth, a source of joy. Your need for connection is a gift.
And for those around them.
Appreciate that outgoing nature. Support their need for social energy. Recognize their way of recharging is valid and valuable.
It comes back to respecting different energy styles, doesn't it?
It really does. Understanding that people recharge and interact differently and celebrating that diversity, we all share that fundamental human need for connection.
And extroverts are often the ones sparking it, reminding us of the value of togetherness.
They often play that vital role, yes.
So the final thought, perhaps, is that extroversion is this vibrant way of being, bringing energy and connection. And understanding it, whether it's you or someone you know, just makes life richer for everyone.
Beautifully put. Exactly.
Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of extroversion. Hopefully you've now got a more nuanced view of what fuels and motivates those who thrive in the company of others.
Hope so.
Maybe take a moment now to think how these ideas apply to your own life, your relationships, your work. Is there maybe one small change you could make today to better understand or support someone else's energy style? Join us next time when we'll be exploring.